So the bottom line, though, that when you're getting up into the higher level magnifications, you have a very narrow, so you really have to make sure your focal length is where you want it, because you're going to be living there. You don't have as much back and forth when they're with the higher magnification. You're in focus a very narrow depth of field.
Welcome to the Digital Smile Hub, the podcast that is dedicated to making clinical dentistry simple. Join us as we decode the complexities of dental care by providing actionable insights into the diverse aspects of clinical practice, the latest trends, and the newest technologies. Whether you're a seasoned clinician or just starting out of dental school, listen in on engaging discussions, expert interviews, and a wealth of tips and tricks to enhance your clinical workflows. So turn up that volume and get ready to transform your clinical practice with the Digital Smile Hub. And now, here's your host, Dr. Tim Anderson. Hey, everybody, this is Dr. Tim Anderson. And for you returning listeners, we're glad to have you back. And for you new listeners, welcome to the Digital Smile Hub. We're super excited to have you. And we're going to jump right into it this week because I have a guest that I've wanted to get on here for a while, mainly because a little bit of fan crushing standpoint of like, I've been listening to him for years. And so it's kind of fun to come full circle and get him back on. But for those of you in the dental podcast world or have been listening to dental podcasts for a while, I guarantee you know who our guest is. But for those who don't, we'll kind of get into it. He has his own dental podcast. For you OG people, you may remember a podcast called The Dental Hacks, which was started by himself and one of his partners or friends, Jason. And now he actually has created a dental podcast network, which is crazy. So he's got the very dental podcast network, of which he does have his own podcast, the Alan Mead Experience, and he's on a bunch of other podcasts. You know, he joins Don Kolongowski on the Peaceful Practice.
Yeah.
And
oh yeah.
He's a part of all sorts of stuff. So he also was one of the co-founders or one of the original founders of the Voices of Dentistry meeting, which I think is freaking amazing because that takes a lot of work to get that kind of stuff going. Without further ado, welcome to the Digital Smile Hub, Dr. Alan Mead.
Well, thank you. Appreciate it. It's good to be here.
We'll try to give you a good run-up without, you know, diving too much. So, Alan, where are you at right now?
I'm in my basement in Midland, Michigan. I'm under the stairs, actually.
So is Michigan technically Midwest?
It's really funny. I saw a map today that described Michigan, Northern Ohio, and Northern Indiana as Cleveland Midwest. And then Minnesota.
Kevin Fryer is going to be really excited about that one.
Minnesota and the Dakotas and Wisconsin were hot dish Midwest.
Okay.
So that which makes kind of a lot of sense, actually. I think that's right. So we're technically Midwest, but we are Cleveland Midwest.
Well, I feel like we'll claim you as a Midwest because I feel like being in North Dakota, I'm definitely Midwest.
Yeah.
Even though I'm closer to Canada than most of the United States.
Hot dish.
Yeah.
Okay.
Very, very hot dish or cold dish, depending on who you're talking to.
Yep.
But actually, I feel like we've got a lot in common because you and I also went to the same dental school.
We did.
So you're a Minnesota grad, right?
Mm-hmm.
When did you? 97. Yeah. So how was that experience for you? Was that good?
No, it was the worst thing that ever happened to me, actually.
It was kind of one of those things you had to get through, though. So
I mean, I got through it. I the raging drug addiction by the end of it. But yeah, that's pretty much it. Minnesota, dental school was the most traumatic thing that ever happened to me. I survived. It's taken a lot of therapy, but yet here I am.
Here you are. On to it. So no, it was funny because we're speaking of traumatic things. I tell a quick little story here because not that long ago, I had a little incident where I may or may not have tripped and taken a full face plant into my office wall in my operatory while doing a root canal, and was wearing my loops and smashed my loops into my face, broke my loops. And so when that happens, you know, you like, everything's okay. I'm okay. But then I'm like, okay, I need a backup of what I'm going to do here because I'm like, all right, well, so I went and grabbed my loops that I had from the University of Minnesota, which were these sweet, I mean, they had dust on them and everything, but these sweet 2.5X oroscopic flip-up things. And I put those things on, man, and it was, I don't know if it's because I'm in my 40s, but I could not see a thing. Like I looked at it and when I tried doing a crown prep and I almost had to stop going like, I don't know if I can do this. Yep. I think I might just need to stop. And so this kind of started piquing my interest. I'm like, okay, magnification is clearly become one of my crutches. Mm-hmm. And I don't think there's anybody who knows more about magnification than you. So I'm like, we got to have you on.
Let's be honest. It's not a crutch. I mean, no one's taking it away from you. It's not like you have it, but then at some point in your life, they're going to take it away and you'll never be able to use it. It's not a crutch.
But I feel like I couldn't do dentistry without it though.
No, 100%.
You take it away, I can't do dentistry.
Yeah.
I mean, so I found that out the hard way.
Spares. That's like, I have multiple sets of spares. Actually, I have a pair of old Designs for Vision 6.0s. I have two pairs of Designs for Vision 6.0s that I don't use those anymore. I've moved on to the Innovas because the frames are a little lighter and stuff. But I have one pair that's functional and one pair. I always was rotating the two pairs in the repair thing. Like you'd send them in for refurbishment and you thought to yourself, oh, they're not that bad. I mean, it won't be that big a deal. They come back and it's like, ooh, they were really bad.
I can actually see. It's like they're brand new.
They kind of remount them and do a heavy duty cleaning and tighten everything up. And it's wild. So, yeah, I mean, so I have multiple spares. So no one's taking them away from me. That's the good news. Yeah, I agree, though. The
spare thing,
you don't think about it till you got to fall back on something else. You're like, whoa, this is wild.
And I feel like that was something they never really taught me in dental school, because the first time my loops broke, because this wasn't the first time. The first time they broke, I didn't have a backup. And I didn't, like, in my head, I thought, like, oh, they can just give me a set of loops really quick. No, it was weeks. Yeah. And so I'd, like, plan it around, like, vacations. I'm like, this is crazy. So it really drove home, yeah, I guess we do need backup. But for me, I'm like, I started off, like, I think most dental students with the generic 2.5 mm-hmm. magnification. And then, you know, I'm kind of jumping my journey, but how was your journey? Like, you were loops in school, and then where'd you go from there?
So this is a great story. In dental school, no one had loops. Some of the instructors had the little cheesy plastic flip down guys that were just a headband, and it looked like Cyclops from the X-Men. You know, they were very generic. Dr. Fair had those, actually. He was the operative. He was in charge of operative, and he had those, and they were just loose enough that he could flip his head down and they would fall.
Can flop down.
He sort of had that style. No one really used loops. I ended up becoming a rep for Surgitel in dental school.
How does that happen?
I don't know quite what happened with Surgitel. they wanted a student selling them. So when they gave me a little case with demo sets, you know, what's really funny, I still have the case. I still have the demo sets around here somewhere. I saw them in my basement earlier. No, I like a couple people bought them in school, but like very few people had loops, and I did not. I had them. I didn't use them in school. I got out of dental school. I ended up ordering some through the lens oroscoptics, and I think I went to I might have gone to a 3.8 at that point, which these numbers are very random, by the way. The numbers actually don't mean as much as you think they do, but the thing that blew my mind from that 3.8 was the oroscoptic guy. He's really funny. He was from Metro Detroit area. He was driving through Midland. He dropped off some demo loops, but also dropped off a fiber optic light that mounted on the thing. And it had a box that sat on the back behind me with a little fiber optic cable that plugged into the box. And I tried that light for one day and I said, I have to have this. The light mounted on my loops was as important as the magnification, it seemed like. And I didn't know that at the time. And thus, I stopped having to need an overhead light. I mean, like, overhead lights are fine, I guess, but they're kind of shadowy and stuff. And I just found, and that would have been in probably 1998 that I did that. Like, I think I bought my oroscoptic loops with the light boxes. And then of course, each operatory had its own big fiber optic box. And you
its
had
own
a cable
box. Yeah.
You would plug into and take out of. And of course you'd forget to do that and you'd walk out of the room and it would yank on your head. And so it's like, there's a lot of drama that went with that. So that would have been 1998. And I bumped up to 4.8 oroscoptics probably a year later. So I was, you know, and that was at that time, that was pretty high magnification. Then I think, probably in the, probably 2004, 2005, I said, okay, I'm going to go. And the big ones at the time were Designs for Vision, the big Buddy Holly frames, and they're 6.0s. And I bought them. And I couldn't use them. I just couldn't get used to them. But the problem was they sat on my desk past the return date. And so they sat on my desk mocking me for months. And I finally at one point, actually I'd gone to a, I've owned every pair of loops you can own. I went to a Zeiss 5.0 flip down. Those were awesome loops. They were fantastic. I didn't like the flip down as much as the through the lens. They were a little heavier, but as far as the optics, they were excellent. And I'm sure that I sold those on eBay because I had so many pairs of loops. I finally picked up the 6.0s because they would just sit there and laugh at me. And I one day it clicked. I was able to use them. And so I
like, you gotta force yourself to do it.
Yeah, you do. There's a discomfort factor you have to force through. So,
You said something kind of interesting, and I do want to, I want to dive into it a little bit because you, one of the things that many new clinicians, as they're going through their loop journey, you know, after they've got their first set and they're looking at their next set, you said the numbers don't matter that much for the magnification. And, and I think you've gone from the, you know, you, your progression was bigger and bigger and bigger, you know, from the focal. When you said it's not that important, dive into that a little bit. And then why did you keep going bigger?
Okay. So the numbers don't mean much, except the numbers for me always, it was higher than the last one. But what's interesting is the magnification, you know, if you got, you know, 4 power, 5 power magnification, that's based on a certain focal length. If you set your focal length up further so you can sit up straighter, and this is, of course, where they've gone with ergonomic loops and stuff, the magnification is actually lower. So if you're sitting, and I tend to sit on a saddle chair. I got into saddle chairs early. I got into saddle chairs before they were cool. They were weird when I got into them. But in the saddle chair was, you know, of course, you sit up quite a bit straighter. And so I needed a longer focal length. So my 6.0 designs for vision were probably closer to about a 4.8 times magnification. The number is much less important than what you get out of them. On some level, it's, I think everyone, I tend to say go bigger faster than you think you need to, because you're going to, once you start, like you said, once you get used to them, you'll never turn back. And it's amazing what you can see. I think about it like, I got the 6.0s, and then after that, we're going to talk about microscopes later, but I on Dental Town, I saw a lot of people using microscopes. So I kind of got obsessed with that became a separate journey. But I have to tell you, even with all the microscopes I have, I still use loops and a headlamp for a lot of my operative stuff. And I've just recently switched to a 5.5 loop from a company called Innova Illumination. Actually, they're in Minneapolis. They build them right there on site. And what I like about them is the frames are lighter weight. The loops themselves are lighter weight. They seem comparable to my 6.0 designs for vision, but what's interesting is however they're designed, they're brighter. They're much brighter. I noticed that when I got them in Chicago last year. Is that right? In Chicago? Yeah. So midwinter, is that right? Yeah, I guess I did. That was February. I thought I've had them for longer than that. Maybe not. And I put them on and I'm like, oh my gosh, it's just way brighter than what I had. Like just without a light, they were somehow, the design allows for more light to get in these, in the telescopes. So I've switched to that, and that's, I haven't really looked back. But and at one point, I remember the Oroscoptic has the kind, the big, the ones that change different magnet, you know, they have a 3.5, 4.5, yep. 5.5.
That's actually what I use.
And then, but I also, and they got the light built, I got the one with the light built right into it with the big goofy batteries that hang off the back. Those are really well made. The design is very cool. The magnification wasn't high enough for me. So like, got story it. Is like, it was really cool, but it's like, it's not up to where it needed to be. I would probably try those again if and when they will eventually, they'll bump the magnification, but the magnification wasn't high enough for my liking. So I sent them back, but they're a very well designed piece. So I've tried every set of loops out there, to be honest.
And what's interesting is, so many people, myself included, got into this, like, it almost can't, I feel like it was almost like a brand debate. Like, yep. I use Oroscoptic, or I use Lumident, or I use Surgitel. And when I started using other brands, it was like all of a sudden started opening my eye. And part of this was my interest in photography.
Yeah.
Helped with some of this. But, you know, you talked a little bit about, you know, the depth of focus and, you know, how the less light is let in, you know, those longer focal lengths. I think it's important for everybody just terminology, because it gets really confusing when people are trying to like figure out loops, because all they jump into is like the, either they pick it on the frames and the way it looks, or because a rep told them. But you know, one of the things, the four things that I look at when I'm looking at loops are really going to be, you know, the magnification factor is one of the components, mm-hmm. which we talked about, that number. Mm-hmm. The depth of focus.
Yes.
You know, we can talk a little bit, like talk about that. And then the depth or the field of view is another mm-hmm. one. You see a lot of manufacturers really expanding the field of
wide
view
field,
on which we didn't have before. And then the new hot topic is the declination angle or some of these mm-hmm. ergonomic mm-hmm. loops. But talk a little bit about some of those factors, because I think so many times we just focus on the number. It's a 6X or it's a 5.5.
It might be less important than the other stuff, to be honest. The depth of focus is basically the distance you can be away from whatever you're looking at and still have a sharp focus. And frankly, the lower the magnification number, the longer your depth of focus is going to be. So you'll be in focus of a wider spot if you're at like a 2.5 versus a 4.5 or a 5. But some, obviously, the design, you know, that varies amongst design, different designs and stuff. But so the bottom line, though, when you're getting up into the higher level magnifications, you have a very narrow, so you really have to make sure your focal length is where you want it, because you're going to be living there. You don't have as much back and forth when they're with the higher magnification. You're in focus a very narrow depth of field.
And I actually found that to be probably the most challenging aspect when stepping up on the magnification factor was that, man, that depth of focus gets very, very narrow, which is fine when you're doing a crown prep, but mm-hmm. when you're doing surgery or you're moving around, it just takes a little bit of getting used to.
And it's a struggle, because a lot of times they want to measure you at a meeting. And so they give you this kind of this chair, and they give you like a type it on, and they
say, and then you hold out your fingers like that's
sit like
that's
you normally sit. I'm like, the problem is I don't normally sit in this kind of a stool. I normally sit in my office in the chair. And so the reality is, if you can have them come to your office and measure you about 10 different ways to get the, you know, because here the problem is you're going to get it and you're going to find that focal length, especially at the higher magnifications. You might not get the focal length right the first time. And it is something they can change, but it has to, you know, they base it on a measurement that they did. I mean, they're usually pretty good. And if you're used to wearing loops, you can probably accommodate to something that's not ideal. But the reality is, it's worth taking the time and having them measure. And if they have to measure it again, have them measure it again. Because that, you've got a certain depth of focus. The higher magnification you have, the much narrower your depth of focus is. But then the actual deciding where you want that depth of focus to be in the length, you know, how high you're sitting, that sort of thing. All these things are very adjustable. They're adjustable by the manufacturer, but they're fixed in the build.
Once it's in your hands, yeah.
So once you've got it, it's, and we're talking almost completely through the lens here stuff. They do have flip up that are very adjustable. Multiple people could wear a flip up and you've got a lot of different adjustments on that. But the through the lens ones are kind of measured to the width that your eyes are apart. They're a little more custom in the inclination of where the optics come out of the frame or whatever. And then, like you said, I have to tell you, I have not used any ergonomic loops. I might try some at some point, but
I feel like that is the hottest thing in loops right now. I feel like every manufacturer is moving to the ergo style loops. And I'm going to tell you, I've never used them either. What I've heard is it seems very polarizing. It's like a love hate thing and I think a lot of the haters honestly are the ones that don't have them or trying to justify why they shouldn't try them, to be honest. My one of my hygienists got them recently, and I was, one, it weirds me out every time I walk into the room and she's looking at the wall. I'm like, what are you looking at? And then it clicks. I'm like, oh no, she's looking in the mouth. It's just her posture is like she's at a microscope.
Straight up,
like,
straight up
it is. Yep. So I will say, from especially on the hygiene side, mm-hmm. holy buckets, like her ergonomics changed overnight. And she says she would not look back, like mm-hmm. wouldn't even twice. Where I'm getting interested is because, you know, like you had mentioned, I have those variable aperture one or the variable focal length, like a 3 to a 5. And I'm at that point, just like you said, you wanted more. I want more.
Yeah. Do you find using it at the lower magnifications anymore or not really?
To be honest, the first month I used it, I'm like, okay, on exams, I'm going to use it at a 3. And then when I go to surgery, I'm going to be at a 4. And then when I do every endo and restorative, I'll be at a 5. It stays at 5 100% of the time.
Yeah.
Like it never moves.
So like a couple of those things, and it's going to depend on the person, obviously, but that variable magnification that they've come out with is a problem. It fixes a problem that I don't have. And honestly, the ergonomic loops also fix a problem that I don't have. But that's a little different because I have microscopes in all my operatories. But so what I've heard from literally from loop manufacturers is probably for a dentist, if you're going to get ergonomic loops, that's awesome. But you need to have a pair of non-ergonomic loops as well, depending on the variety of procedures that you do.
Yeah, and that's kind of the
pretty tough to work on.
I've kind of heard of
on the upper. The positioning is harder in ergonomic loops if you're doing longer procedures on the upper, where they're apparently just fantastic for the lower. So, and I mean, does it sound silly to me to have a pair of loops when you're working on the lower? Absolutely not, because I mean, let's be honest. I mean, in the microscope, I still struggle working on lower molars, you know, especially the distals of lower molars, just because of the angulation. But so the reality is, I wouldn't have a hard time having two different sets of pair of loops to work on upper and lower at all.
I think what this just kind of hit me too, because with these new ergo loops, you made a comment earlier which made me think of this, because you were talking how the better your posture is, the further you're away with your ergonomics.
Yeah.
The magnification factor is slightly different. And that's one of the things I think people are getting a little tripped up on these ergo loops, is they'll see magnification factors like 5 and they're like, oh my gosh, that's way too much.
Right. Yeah.
Not realizing that they're sitting way back. And I just, Luminant's got some new ones that are 10X.
Yeah.
And I was expecting them to look like these huge telescoping crazy things, but they really aren't that big.
Yeah.
Which surprised me.
I think the manufacturers kind of, here's the problem. You can't really compare one set of loops to another in magnification just because the focal length determines the magnification. So if you're a dude that's 6'4", you know, you're automatically going to have a longer, you know, focal length. Anyhow, so they only use those numbers to give kind of a generic idea of the magnification. It's
all right. So you've used more loops than anybody I know.
Yeah.
So if you're talking to a dental student or a newer grad who's interested in getting a second pair of loops or new set of loops, where should they start?
Well, what's really cool, first off, in dental school, they discount them significantly. Every manufacturer gives a really good deal to dental students. So, and I mean, not like there's a shortage of things for dental students to spend money on, but that is a good time to invest in that technology, because they discount them significantly, like maybe over 50% on some level. I don't know if it's because they're hoping for brand loyalty over time. I'm not sure. But the reality is, if you're used to a set of 2.5s, you know, and the manufacturers go to dental schools all the time. I mean, they have loop fairs all the time. I would try a bunch of them out. A lot of times they have some generic ones that you can demo. I don't know if they, and probably at dental school, I bet you could demo them on a patient just to get an idea of how much magnification you could tolerate. And the other thing I have to say, go bigger than you think, go higher magnification than you think you're going to need, because that's not true. I tried Designs for Vision 8.0s. I couldn't get used to them. Even after the 6.0s, I got them. And I'm like, I returned them before the return date this time. So, cause I'm like, I can't. And it was not because the magnification was too much. It was because if I took a breath, it would shudder, right? It was just it was like, I was the problem. I wasn't like, I couldn't sit stiff enough and that's when it could, you know, if you're getting up to that level, that's where having a microscope mounted to your ceiling, your wall is a little bit more steady. But the reality is, go bigger than you think. The manufacturers are constantly in dental school, so I would definitely try that. Now, if you're a new dentist, you know, not a dental student, a lot of times they still give pretty good discounts for younger dentists, but any major show is going to have a whole bunch of manufacturers there. And the other thing is, it used to be your manufacturers were basically Orascoptic and Designs for Vision. And everyone's like, oh, everything else is just junk. Well, that's not true. There's a whole bunch of good manufacturers out there. I mean, I love and have worked with Innova Illumination. I think they're up and comers. They're very good. It's really funny. They have poached a lot of people from other companies recently. It's just... because they're just growing. They're growing like crazy. And they have a line of microscopes they can sell, so they can kind of go on both sides of it. And they build their own surgical headlamps and loop-mounted lights in Minneapolis as well. So they were a light company that merged with a loop company way back in the day. So they sort of always had the, they had them. They designed them hand in hand. That's one of the reasons I like Innova so much. But you know, Lumadent is a really good one. They've got some that are lower cost, maybe a little bit. There's a lot of up and comers. I got no problem with any of them. Best place to, if you really wanted to go see like every loop manufacturer there is, you got to go to like Chicago or New York. The Star of the North or even the MDA is going to have some, but you can't, you know, you trip over manufacturers you never heard of if you go to Chicago or New York, because everyone shows up there. And honestly, those are good places to try them. Even, and most of them have a guarantee that if you get measured for them and they're not right, they'll keep working on them till they're right. And they give you X amount of time to try them. Don't let that lapse, because that's what I did. But the reality is, like, they don't, it's not a final sale. You get to try them out and make sure you like them. If you were really savvy, you buy several pairs and then return, you know, plan to return them. You might know. They make it pretty easy for you, but it is a very customized product. So you have to be kind of demanding, and you have to know what you want a little bit. For instance, they all thought I was nuts that my focal length was so long, but it was because I was on a saddle chair. I was sitting up straight on a saddle chair, and it kind of required that. And they all thought I was crazy. Like, that's the longest focal length I've ever seen. And like, I know, but this is what I want. And so you kind of have to know, you know, the chair you'll be sitting in. You kind of have to know how you'll be using them. It's good to know that stuff for sure.
Well, and I think your story is a great one, because it also highlights the fact that this is not a one-time purchase.
Yeah.
This is going to be something that you will grow out of, and that's mm-hmm. okay. That's a good thing. That means you're progressing, your skill set's changing, your attention to details change, everything's changing. So I think going into that knowing, hey, this is not a one-time purchase, I need to learn from it. And then when you go to buy the next set, keep doing it. I love that you said, go bigger than you think, because that is the one thing. Like when people are like, oh, I'm going to go 2.5 to a 3. I'm like, don't bother. That really didn't do anything. So, you know, try it out. Worst case scenario, you don't like it, but you got give it some time, try it out. But loops are great. And I would argue that you can't do dentistry without loops. I mean, I require my hygiene to use loops, but I also went down your road from the standpoint, like I built a new office recently and we didn't even equip overhead lights.
Yep.
So none of my ops have built-in overhead lights because we require everybody to wear loops and lights. Mm-hmm. So talk to us a little bit, because I agree wholeheartedly with you that loops are good, but lights are king.
Yep. I have friends. I think they are of equal weight to me, but they're without each other, they're definitely less useful. Like loops with an overhead light are just frustrating to me. Overhead lights have so many shadows and stuff. In a light without loops seems a little silly to me too. I know people who just wear the surgical head. Like I know oral surgeons who just wear the headlamp, which is a really bright headlamp without magnification. It just seems like, I mean, I can't even look at a tooth without magnification. I'm just like, I feel like I'm looking across the Grand Canyon. It's just amazing but they're really well put together. I will say that it's easy for me to say because I've got them, but I don't skimp on lights either. Every company has a light that they like to sell with them, and they're fine. But I use like a surgical headlamp. Okay, so Greg Kinzer of Spear Education turned me on to this thing. He had this goofy headlight, and it was a big thing that went over your head. It was a big cap thing and it had the light come right in. It had two batteries on the sides. And it looked like almost like a big telescope coming right out of it. And it was a surgeon's headlamp, like someone who cuts bodies open and works on hearts and guts and stuff like that. And he won it in a raffle. He didn't buy it himself. He won it in a raffle. But he said, geez, now I use it. I swear by it. And I just thought that was amazing. So he showed it to me, and I called the company and I ordered a pair. I ordered one. It was not a dental company at all. So getting a composite like filter on it was kind of a pain. They weren't used to selling composite filters. But what happened was, first off, it didn't have a cord. One of the things that drives me the most crazy is having to clip a battery on your, I mean, it starts from where I had the thing where each room had the box where you plug the fiber optic into. And now you can pretty much put the battery on your belt and, you know, run it through your coat or whatever and turn it on with that. But But even then, that's a cord. Like, you'll turn your head and it pulls, and it just throws me into an absolute rage. I can't stand the cables at all. But there's a lot of workarounds to that. But the one that I found the best is one that has a battery mounted right on the headband. And the light that I have is ridiculous. It's practically a microscope. I mean, it's insane. It is an ANOVA illumination. Oh, I can't remember. It's like a quantum, I think, or something like that. But they set
the batteries on the head.
Here's the thing, though. They don't make them anymore. They don't make the batteries on the head anymore. There's one of the parts wasn't very reliable as far as it's like an elbow joint that they had a hard time, I think, with the it would short. So I'm on my last elbow joint, and then I have to go back and use it with the belt mounted one. And so I was for a while, and I mean, it was fine, but frankly, it's so much better having the no cord thing. As much as I love ANOVA, if that were, I might have to go find another one that just doesn't have the cord. There is a cord. There's a cord that goes from the battery pack on the back of my head that goes around to the light. So there's no cord that'll get hung up in my clothes or anything like that. It's a crazy bright light. It's a ridiculously bright light. I love it. Maybe that's not for everyone, but the reality is, once you start using something like that, everything else is a toy.
Talk to us a little bit about that, because I think many of us are using just the simple, small, yep, little overhead light that attaches to the front of your loops.
They're fine.
Get snagged on everything. To us a little bit about what moving to the higher lumen.
Yeah.
Better controlled light, what benefit, you're talking earlier, it wasn't a problem I was trying to solve. What did this change for you when you started using a better quality light?
Okay, for one thing, when you're using higher magnification loops, the higher the actual magnification is, you need that much more light. The amount of acuity you can see through these higher magnifications requires a lot more light. I mean, they let more light in, so you kind of have to give it more light. So I've always needed a pretty bright light on it. And I got to say, I will occasionally use one of the lights that my hygienist use, or if I, in a pinch, my old one. I had one of the smaller little unicorn guys, the Designs for Vision one. And they're slick because they're literally cordless. There's no cord.
I just can't help laughing when I see people wear them, though.
they're a little silly looking. They're kind of brilliant as far as simplicity. But you change the battery 3-4 times a day on that thing. You're constantly charging those batteries because those batteries will die in an hour, hour and a half. And they were fine, but they weren't anything like, they're not bright like what I'm used to. When you get the brightness, you're like, ooh, I'm sort of a light hog, I guess. I've had Bob Winter of Spear told me that he can't stand using a light that bright because it doesn't allow for color. You can't really see color. I'm like, nope, you can't. You really can't see color, but bring it on. I don't care. I'll match my composite with it off. Let's just say that. I'm not doing color matching. I just want to see everything. So I'm a big fan. Like I said, I probably have overkill for magnification. I have overkill for light, and I think it's great. And what's so funny, Tim, is it's what I know. It's what I know now. I don't know anything less magnification than that. Like on some level, when you're using that stuff, you see stuff that other people don't see. And I'm not saying that to brag. I'm just saying, it's nuts. I wouldn't want to see any less than that. You know what I'm saying? Like I wouldn't want to see any less than that. The funny thing is too, stuff looks worse under high magnification. Your best work looks worse under high magnification. So if you can make it look really good under high magnification, it looks fantastic to the naked eye. It looks amazing then. So it's humbling to be able to see that.
It is totally humbling. A good parallel to this is when you first get an intraoral scanner and you're blowing up your preps to this massive degree, and you're looking at it, you're like, oh my gosh, I need to fix this.
Yeah.
So that was a catalyst for me of like, I felt like I was a decent dentist, but clearly I had room for improvement. Yeah. And then, you go to the Spear course, I will never forget, doing the restorative design course with Bob You start watching him work under the microscope, and instantly I'm sitting there going, okay, this now has become my new expectation of where I want to go.
Yeah.
How do I get here? And literally, like you said, you don't know what you can't see in it until you use it.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. It just is eye opening. Literally.
It is. It is.
Do you feel like you get any eye fatigue at all with that high bright light? I feel like that's something you hear from people sometimes.
I don't think so. I really don't think so. What people don't like about the light like mine is the weight of it. That's never bothered me. Like, the same thing is, I had Designs for Vision 6.0. So things are like cinder blocks. They're heavy. And I just strapped my head. I never gave it a second thought. A lot of people are like, oh, it's just so heavy. I'm like, well, I get it. I mean, and I'm now using the Innovas that are significantly lighter. They're good. They're similar magnification, but lighter. But that just didn't really bother me that much, I guess. I don't know. But I mean, they talk about it. When you're putting a bunch of weight on the front of your head, it's potentially a neck problem. That's the beautiful thing about the battery pack on the back, because it's like a counterbalance.
Kind of balances it.
Sort of is. It's weight, but I just don't even think about it, honestly. I just don't even think about that. The same myth is that I don't want to get used to loops because, it'll affect my vision. And I'm like, no one's taking it away from you. It's not that you're getting used to it. The other thing is, it's not, someone says, my vision's really good, I don't need them. I'm like, no, that's not it at all. Your vision can be fantastic. You can't see that small of thing without magnification. No. It isn't like there's just some people in your dental school class that can just see that much better than everyone. So we're not superheroes here. This is not X-Men stuff. This is,
well, even
you
things like,
because I mean, magnification is, you're seeing more at greater acuity. You are not, you know, it's not that just some people don't see as well. That's not how this works.
And I think you'll see your clinical outcomes improve. Like, one area that I saw dramatically get better was just simple things like wound healing, like suturing with loops. Like, suturing was so much better. Like, crown margins were better. Like, they were less, I was less aggressive. Like, everything just got better. So this is why I wanted to talk about this with you, because I think loops and lights go hand in hand. You know, like I said, one's not better than the other. Like, you need them together. And if you're not using a light, like, I think you're just missing out
a lot
on what, oh man, what could be going on, what you could be doing, what you could be seeing, how you could be doing it. Like, so just give your rep a call and just try any brand. Doesn't matter. Although I now want to try this Innovo. Cause that's where I'm at right now, where I'm like, I need more magnification and I really want a better light. So
this is the first light I think they designed like this for dentists too. Like, it's designed to have the composite filter on and stuff like that. They were a company that built surgical headlights for a long time before they became sort of more dental oriented. So they're seriously good lights. They're really good lights. I forget the name of it, and I'll get a link for you so you can put it in the show notes. But, and the other thing is, they're expensive. They're no doubt about it. They're thousands of dollars. Would think twice about, I would buy another one in a second. In fact, I did. I have multiples of them.
Of course you do, right?
Well, I mean, you know what? We were laughing about it in the beginning. You don't really want to be without. If you're working and you don't have what you need, you don't work. I mean, I guess you could. I would never prepare a crown. I would never do anything without the magnification, honestly. And then the few times when you run down to hygiene, you think, shoot, my loops are in the other room. You go in there, you start doing the exam. You're like, okay, hang on. I got to go get back. Because that's just, you can't see anything. You know, it's just not. And there's a certain level of expectation when you need to see what you need to see. And that's, your standard just gets higher.
Yeah. Well, Alan, I appreciate all of this. And I think, listeners, if you guys are taking home anything with this, like, A, get a bigger magnification than you think.
Yep.
Get the best quality light you can and just start moving forward. Don't overthink everything. Just get with a brand, talk with them. But I think the other thing is, start and look around, try different ones, go to the shows. Like, this is one of the really good things about trade shows, is that you have the opportunity to actually sit and talk with them. Don't just have like the one rep that shows up to your office, or that one, you know, company that'll talk with your Patterson Shine rep.
They want to be the one rep that shows up and sells you the thing. But so go to the shows and try a bunch of them, because your face shape might fit certain frames better than others. Honestly, it's worth trying a whole bunch of them.
And continue to level up. This topic is so good that it literally leads into another topic that is the next level on top of this. So starting with, you know, just basic magnification, going up a little higher, starting basic light, good light. Then we start moving into what Alan really enjoys and where you really take the next level, which is with scopes. So next week, we're going to have you back, Alan. And we're going to talk about microscopes and really taking your magnification to the next level and what it can do clinically for not only you, your patients, documentation, clinical skill sets, all that kind of stuff. So join us next week. Appreciate you guys all coming back. Alan, how can they get a hold of you?
Oh, geez. Probably your best bet would be to go on Facebook. It's just Alan Mead, or you can become a member of the Very Dental Facebook group, and I require a password. I have 5 passwords. One, you can use one. Timmerman, McQuethy, Hornbrook, Lipscomb, or Papa Randy. Any of those 5 will get you into the Very Dental Facebook group. It's basically only listeners of the podcast, so it's not a total garbage fire like a lot of the Facebook groups that I have. Shoot, I started some of them. This one is not. This is a much milder group. Or you can go to the Very Clinical group, which is another really good one. Zach and Kevin do that one too. So,
and I will advocate wholeheartedly for the both of those groups, because great people, great community. That's what we are all about here with 3D Dentists. So, Alan, thanks so much. We'll catch you next week. Listeners, have a great rest of your day, and we'll catch you soon. See you later.
Thank you.
If you enjoyed this episode, be sure to subscribe so you get notified when all the new content is released. And don't forget to rate, review, and share this podcast with all your friends and colleagues. For more information about all things happening within the 3D Dentist family, follow us at www.3d-dentist.com. Thanks for listening, and I hope you are leaving with new insights to help transform and level up your practice. Until next time, keep smiling.